In a few moments, Columbia will take you to London for a talk by Alfred Duff Cooper, British Minister of Information. The British cabinet member is to give Britain's reaction to the Italian declaration of war. He is the second representative of the Allies to speak since Italy entered the war. Just a short while ago, Premier Renault of France declared that the French nation is ready to meet the new attack. Meanwhile, here are press association bulletins, first of all from Washington. 14 American cargo vessels and 2 passenger ships are in the Mediterranean, Europe's newest theater of war. The State Department says that 2 other freighters are in the Black Sea, and now we take you to London.
An important and a tragic event in European history has taken place today. Mussolini, the dictator of Italy, has declared war upon the Allies, by whose side Italy fought in the last great war, and who then, by their efforts, saved Italy from destruction. He has timed the blow with characteristic cowardice and treachery. He has waited for more than 9 months. He has waited until France was fighting desperately against great odds. But at last, the opportunity to stab an old friend in the back, in the hour of that friend's greatest peril, has proved too strong a temptation for Mussolini to resist. It will be remembered for generations as one of the vilest acts in history. It is also very tragic because there is so much that we all like and admire in Italy and in the Italian people. We can be quite sure that had they had a democratic system of government which allowed the will of the people to prevail, they never would have entered into this war on the side of their hereditary enemies against their hereditary friends. When a whole nation put their fate into the hands of one bad man, they become sooner or later both the accomplices and the victims of his crimes. Today, the Italian people are the accomplices of Mussolini. The foolish crowd of young fascists who were cheering this afternoon in Rome little knew the fearful fate that awaits them. Whatever temporary successes they may achieve in the early days of warfare, they will certainly be defeated in the end. Italy has never won a war without assistance, except against the unfortunate Abyssinians, who were armed with spears against tanks and with bows and arrows against poison gas. In her struggle for independence in the last century, Italy was assisted at every turn, both by Great Britain and by France. They were French soldiers, not Italians, who drove the Austrians out of Italy. Garibaldi, the heroic Italian, registered the debt that his country owed to Great Britain when he called down a curse upon any Italian government who in the future should fight against the country that had saved Italy. That prophetic curse will assuredly be fulfilled. Supposing the impossible were to happen, and Germany were to be victorious, the fate of Italy would be even worse. For while, according to our principles, we should allow the defeated Italy to retain her independence, the victorious Germany would certainly reduce her to the position of a vassal state. How could Italy then, without a single friend in the world, hope to stand up against the dictates of Germany? It would be a just punishment for the crime that Italy commits today. Italy, the heir of Rome, has allied herself with those very barbarians who destroyed the Roman Empire and is assisting them in this, their second attempt, to wipe out civilization. But we need have no fear of such an eventuality. Germany is no more likely to win the war with the assistance of Italy than she was without it. On the contrary, it's more than likely that Italy will prove a liability rather than an asset, as indeed she proved to her allies in the last war, when after the disgraceful flight of the Italian army at Caporetto, the British and the French had to dispatch troops at great inconvenience to themselves in order to restore the position in Italy and put back some courage into the hearts of the Italians. No, we need have no fear. And indeed, from one point of view, the entry of Italy will prove of immediate assistance. The Italian peninsula has formed the great gap in our blockade of Germany. Through that tunnel, supplies of all kinds have been pouring in to Germany. From tonight, that tunnel is closed, and the effectiveness of the blockade will be increased enormously. No war has ever been declared with so little provocation as this. Italy had no quarrel with Great Britain or with France, and had made no claims which had been refused. There was no subject which our two governments were not ready to discuss, no problem that they were not anxious to solve. So much is this the case that in the short account of what Mussolini said this afternoon, I cannot find that he himself mentioned any cause for his action, save that Great Britain and France were richer nations than Italy. It is the excuse of the man who breaks into another's house and cuts his throat in order to steal his money. This, indeed, is the criminal act of a common murderer. The act of a man who, although he rules over a Christian people, not only loathes and despises Christianity, but makes no pretense to be bound by the ordinary laws which all civilized human beings respect. Murderers very often succeed in the first instance, for the simple reason that civilized life is carried on upon the assumption that murder will not be committed. But the end of murderers is always shameful, as the end of Mussolini will be. He will bring misery and starvation upon his people. He will leave nothing behind him but the curses of those whom he has betrayed. And he will increase the number of ruins for which Italy has so long been famous. I believe that the news that Italy has joined in the war is well timed to strengthen the endurance and encourage the hearts of the English and the British people. Because we know the Italians of old, and we know that whatever other qualities they may possess, we can never fail to defeat them soundly on the field of battle.
From London, Columbia has presented a talk by Alfred Duff Cooper, British Minister of Information. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.